Listening Library presents I Remember You by Kathleen Davitt Bell. Read for you by Emily Rankin. You're not the first to ask, and probably not the last. And I don't expect you to understand why I stayed upon this rock after the birds had gone and all of the waves turned to sand. I am a lighthouse in a desert, and I stand alone. I dream of an ocean that was here a long time ago, and I remember his cool waters, and I still glow. Antje Duvekot, Lighthouse. Prologue. I am writing this down so that I will remember. And because a long time ago, Lucas told me to. Or dared me. He didn't think I could remember. Feelings you have when you are 16, he said. Feelings so strong they could break open your ribs from the inside. They wither as you get older. He said he didn't know how long it would take, but it would happen. He said it would be better that way. Easier. Kinder. Numbness was what he offered me, and I tried to accept it. On some level, I did accept it. But Lucas, the memory of him, the memory of who I was when I was with him, it was always there. I said I would never forget, and I didn't. Lucas, I remember you. Chapter 1. It was the end of summer, August 1994. My mom and I pulled into the driveway in our beat-up Audi that smelled of her perfume, my mom at the wheel, me slouched down in the passenger seat, pressing seek on the radio with my big toe, singing along, though I couldn't carry a tune. I was just back from 8 weeks at sleepaway camp, and I remember how I felt then. Free. Lucas was mowing my neighbor's lawn. I must have known who he was, because I remember thinking, there's one of those guys from school. By those guys, I meant jocks. I knew Lucas was on the hockey team. I knew he was a year ahead of me, too. He'd be a senior when school started. I remember that Lucas had his shirt off, and I remember that getting out of the car with my duffel bag over my shoulder, I was trying not to look at him. I didn't want to so obviously not look, either. I liked to think of myself as someone who didn't freak out every time a hockey player took off his shirt. But I guess I did look. I remember he was wearing dog tags and that they were tossed over his shoulder like a necktie moved out of harm's way. I remember how light the lawnmower seemed in his hands, how deeply tan his skin had become over the summer, how he was scowling at a clump of grass growing right up against my neighbor's fence. I knew that clump. It was impossible to get down on our side of the fence post as well. Lucas caught me watching him and looked down at the mower, then back at me. Then he let out this 10-gigawatt smile that had a lot of information in it, including, one, we both knew he wasn't going to mow that clump of grass down. Two, he was someone who smiled at people he didn't even technically know. And three, people always returned his smiles, which is exactly what I was doing then. Did he nod? Did I nod back? I don't know. As soon as I got into the house and passed by a mirror, I thought, oh, great. Greasy hair, red bandana. Was that dirt where I thought I was tan? At camp, there was a layer of sap and sand and generally nasty woodsiness everywhere. Even the showers were slimy and smelled of mold, and I remember wondering if the veritable force field of scum was obvious, if Lucas had seen. Now I think back to Lucas with the lawnmower. There was actually a whole crew of landscapers doing the bushes and the edging, laying mulch. And I wish I'd never gone inside. I wish I could freeze time, go back and take a picture, write it all down, the way I'm trying to do now. Had he shaved? Or was the line of blonde stubble he got at the end of the day already there? Had he bunched up the gray t-shirt he wasn't wearing and tucked it into the back of his shorts? I remember that his chest and back were shining, but like I said, I was trying not to notice. They didn't belong to me then. They would. I woke up on the first day of school to good first day of school weather. A sky you could bounce a quarter off, my mom would say. A chill in the air to let you know Halloween was one calendar page away. Stepping out the front door to catch the bus, I was thinking, I approve. My fingers flew on my locker combination. I wasn't gushing, "Oh my God, how are you?" to everyone I knew or even half knew. That wasn't my style. But I was glad to be back. Second period physics, I was slipping into a seat in the front next to Robin Sipe, who I used to be friends with in middle school and still hung out with at the newspaper, and I turned to scan the room for my best friend, Rosemary. She'd been away at the end of summer, and I didn't know her schedule. I didn't even know if we had the same lunch period. But Rose wasn't sitting in any of the rows behind me. Instead, I found myself face to face with Lucas. I saw him, felt my cheeks go hot, and turned back around. I thought that would be that. But during class, I kept hearing him drop his pen. He was spinning it across his fingertips like a top, and every now and then it would go flying. When it hit the back of my chair, I reached down, picked it up where it had landed, and passed it back to him. Lucas mouthed, "Sorry." I whispered, "That's okay." That was the first time we spoke. Back then, Lucas had curly hair that he cut so short it didn't look curly, just unbrushed. Our school made all the boys wear button-down shirts. Lucas's was wrinkled and open at the neck. I got a glimpse of a chain and remembered his dog tags. The year before, I'd written a newspaper article about how all war is wrong, and the sign of a truly civilized nation is a position of neutrality. A lot of my teachers liked that piece, and for a week or two afterward would mention it during class or speak to me about it in the hallway. So I took it as fact. People like Lucas, who glorify the military by wearing dog tags even when they aren't actually soldiers, are perpetuating a problem. But when I passed his pen back, he held my eyes the way he had when he was mowing the neighbor's lawn, and in that moment, something happened to me. I felt like Lucas saw me. He saw right through the surface that a hockey-playing jock in dog tags would normally stop at. He saw through debate and the newspaper, the exterior of my high school life. He saw past the fact that I'm pretty enough, I guess, and that kids respect me, and that I'm friends with Rosemary Field. This may sound stupid, but I believed Lucas saw the person I am inside. By that, I mean the person I am when I cry at black and white movies with my mom, the person I am when I read the comics in the sun on the front porch after school, when I'm dressed in the UCLA sweats with Bruins sewn on the legs my dad sends me from California, when I stay up late talking with Rosemary on the phone, when I laugh so hard I snort milk through my nose, the part of me that was there when I was 3 or 10 or 14, the inner core that will stay the same forever. As Lucas's fingers closed around the pen, I held on for just a second too long. I felt weirdly alive, like I'd just inhaled super cold air. I let go of the pen and turned back around. Robin Sipe was writing "homework equals 20% of grade" in her notebook, and I dutifully copied her words. I even mimicked her good girl bubble handwriting. But then I snuck a peek behind me. Lucas was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?